Good to see you tonight. Those of you who made it through the rain and didn't get held up by the open houses. Praise the Lord. Did y'all skip open house to come tonight, or did y'all not have it? Okay. This was for the mama. We're going to have tonight a tell it service, and we're going to tell it. So I hope you came ready to tell it. I want to read a scripture. I didn't give them the scripture. Hopefully you can follow me. Psalm 126, if you can find it in the message. I'm going to read it. And if you have a Bible, you can read it. Otherwise, perhaps you'll be able to actually find it. Sorry about that, guys. In the message, Psalm 126. And there we go. It's close. And anyway, I just want to read and read that psalm. There's so many good psalms, aren't there? Psalm 126, verse 1, it says, there we go. It seemed like a dream, too good to be true. Have you ever had anything like that, where it just seemed like a dream, it was too good to be true? For y'all who were here Sunday morning, the end of our service, Frank and Rhonda Ball shared about what God's doing in their life. Terry just told about how last summer, really seemingly out of nowhere, literally, they went on vacation and came home with a baby to adopt. They didn't bring the baby home, but they learned about it on vacation, and a few weeks later, they had a new baby boy in their home, and they'd been yearning for that for many years. It was a dream come true. It almost seemed too good to be true. Like, how can this even be happening? And then now, here we are in the next summer, and the almost exactly same thing's happening. Frank and Rhonda, they just go on a little trip, come back home, and next thing they know, there's a little baby. They've been yearning for a little baby, and they're here he comes. He's not here yet, but he's on his way. And it seems like a dream. Has a God ever done anything like that in your life? It just seems like a dream. It's too good to be true. One thing I'm so thankful about when we read that is that our God is a God who brings dreams to pass. He's not a God who gives you a dream and then says, well, too bad, or don't get your hopes up. He's not a don't get your hopes up God. He's a God who brings dreams to pass. I believe he gives us desires so that he can fulfill them. He gives us, the Bible says, Psalm 34, he gives us the desires of our heart. And I think that works both ways. He fills our heart with desires and then he brings them to pass. And it seemed like a dream too good to be true. And I believe that as we walk in what God has for us, that we'll experience those days where it just seems like a dream too good to be true. And then it goes on to say, when God returned Zion's exiles, we laughed. Do you know it's scriptural to laugh? To rejoice, to laugh. We sang. You ever been just so excited? I know you have, Terry, I've seen you. You just get so excited, you just laugh. You sing. We couldn't believe our good fortune. See, there's a reason to laugh. Goes on to say, we laughed, we sang, we couldn't believe our good fortune. We were the talk of the nations. Do y'all see that? We were the talk of the nations. God was wonderful to them. That's what the nations were saying. And I believe in our day, in our time, that the nations or the peoples around us, the people who know us, even the world around us, should look at us and say, look, God has been wonderful to them. Not, oh, they're great, they're awesome, but God has been wonderful to them. And the only way that the world will say that God has been wonderful to us is if we tell the world, this is the Lord's doing. This isn't the might of my hand. This isn't because I'm so clever. It's because God is good to us. And not in a, I mean, in a very real way, God is good to us. This is how he's been good to me. We were the talk of the nations. God was wonderful to them. Just what they were bearing out, what they were experiencing, they were giving glory to God, and the people could see God was being good to them. And they're saying, God was wonderful to us. We are one happy people. Hallelujah. And now, God, do it again. I love that. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives, so those who planted their crops in despair will shout hurrahs at the harvest, so those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing. Praise God. And I love that. Whenever we rehearse and remember what God has done, we should always go to verse 4 and we should say, and now God, do it again. Whatever he has done, he will do. And maybe you've had a moment or a time where you were living in the, boy, that seems too good to be true. If no other time in your life, it's when that weight of sin was removed from you. When the joy of your salvation just bubbled over within you and you realized and recognized God loves me. And he gave himself for me, and he wants to know me and have fellowship with me. Even that is a dream that is just absolutely almost too good to be true. But now, God, do it again. So whenever I see or hear of God's goodness and how he's blessing people, or even remember how he's blessed me and what he's done, the next thought, God, do it again. And not just do it again for me, but do it again through me. May someone else experience what I've been able to experience. May someone else know you and know your goodness the way that I've known you and known your goodness. Let me share that. Let me be able to tell of that. So tonight here at our Tell It service, that's what we're doing. We're going to tell of God's goodness. If you have something that the Lord's done in your life, particularly recently, but it doesn't even have to be recently, anything that you would like to share to be a testimony of God's goodness to you, we're going to have an open night. Now we're going to let you share and tell it. And I know we have testimonies that are as recent, as a few minutes ago, certainly from youth camp. There may be people who have things that God has done in them or through them. I see Neil's here. We'll get a good word from my brother Neil. He came from Japan to be in service with us tonight. Oh, I don't know where you came from, but you didn't come that far. Anyway, we're going to just share about God's goodness. Does anybody want to go first, or did y'all want me to call on you? Who has something that they want to start off with? The person who was going to start off, he ain't here. And so, I don't know what he's thinking, but he's missing out on being able to share. So, why don't we, okay, come along, Lauren. This is Lauren. She went to camp this year. I don't know if you're going to tell a camp testimony, but camp, it was her first camp, so.
Recently, the first or second time I came to this church, I was like crying because she spoke over me and was like, somebody in this room, she's like, I don't know if it's one person or more than one person, but you're dealing with this like word for word. And I just was like, oh my gosh, I have to go see her after church. So I was like scrambling around, like, where is she? And so, it was laid upon my heart that, I was like really angry at God, for circumstantial things, and some of it's probably like biological. A lot of it was out of my control, probably all of it. But I got diagnosed with something recently, and it was a mental illness, and it's something I'd been struggling with for years. And it was just kind of like, why, God, why? Why does this keep happening? Like, there's got to be a reason for like just the pain and the struggle that I've really had to deal with these past years. And I kept telling myself, like, you know, it's got to be used for good. And so he placed this person in my life that has the exact same diagnosis right after I got diagnosed. And she was just like, yeah, I have so-and-so. And I was like, really? I just got diagnosed with that. And so we exchanged numbers. And so I've been praying for her for months to really open her heart to God, even though I was in a similar place where I was angry with her. She was angry with him for years. I was angry for months. And finally, it was just like, I got to let go of this thing. And so recently, she told me that it was laid on her heart that she wanted to do like a daily devotion by herself. And she is giving up all alcohol. Her dad's an alcoholic. And she's like, I don't think I need this in my life. And I feel like God really showed me that. And I was immediately struck. And I was like, I think God really like answered my prayers. And if she's able to let go of something like that, then, you know, like I got to get over this. So I immediately signed up for, you know, Camp Overflow. And just a bunch of different stuff has happened recently. And God's so good. And I had Katarina come up to me and go like, are you sure this is the first time you've done this? Like, you're a natural. Like, you know everything. Like, I'm like, no, I don't, but thank you. And there's stuff like that. And then I had Elena pray over me, and she said, you are meant to teach, and that's what I'm doing. I'm in school to teach. And she said, you teach in a way, you describe things in a way that people would not understand if it were not you up there teaching it or describing it. And I have read that in this thing called the Highlands Ability Profile we had to pay for. My dad did. And it said that you're a really special person in the sense that you can explain things in a way that other people wouldn't understand otherwise. So, yeah, just a lot of stuff, like, was making me cry, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. I have never slept so well in my Inu. I'm just going to start sleeping outside, but yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. Praise God. That's awesome. I mean, we should all get one of those Inus and hook them up. We don't have enough trees here at the church to sleep outside, though, up between them. Praise the Lord. God, he deals with us wherever we are, whatever's going on with us. He's there to help us. And then, yes, Brian, there to encourage us. This is Brian Finley. Y'all see him. I don't know how much y'all know about him, but Brian's been helping us out big time here.
Amen. First of all, give God the praise. Amen. He's the one who's worthy of the praise. I've been knowing Nate probably 15 years now. I know Terry and Matt and Tony and Kathy. They're part of my family. And I came here right before we went to Bold Venture. I just started visiting and doing some things. And got a phone call from Nate one day, and I said, Nate, I want to go to Bold Venture. I said, there's some things I need to work out. My little boy, he begged and begged to go. I said, no, you got to let Dad go. This is Dad's time. And so I went and blessed the people as much as I knew how to do in ministry. I've been credentialed in the Church of God now for 8 years in ministry. And so I did all that I knew to do to bless the people that were there, worked hard with the sound, the songs, the playing drums, and all that. But I was there for me, and I sat back. And I watched the people there that were hurting just like I was hurting. And God ministered to me that week. I came back home. You guys took and bought my drums from me here at the church. Now I don't have my drums. Nah, my son has a set, though, but God's blessing us. We were in turn able to bless the church, get rid of some of your sound equipment you had, sold that for you guys if you don't know about that. God bless the church with that. Pastor Matt, I went home the other day, and a friend of mine said, we're going to plant a church in my garage. I said, okay. Well, I spent 3 days last week, working on their garage, turning it into a church. I got home on Friday afternoon. The pastor and his wife and the man that owns the house and his wife were in the church with me. They kept saying, Brother Brian, we want to pray over this church. I said, okay. I said, no problem. I started praying. Well, about 4 hours later, I got them delivered some things they'd been going through. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless them. Got them set free to start this new church with. Well, I went to go home and just wasn't even thinking. And I had told Pastor Matt, I said, I've got 2 dates the next 2 weekends. I'll be out of town. I said, so if you don't see me, that's why. I'm in and out. I am booked through September. There's things going on I have going on. And so, Pastor Matt, I pulled up after praying for those people, and God touched their lives, and there was a check in the mail for $50 from a ministry that I had worked for. So I said, okay, well, thank you for that. Within that week, I went on and went to Winsboro when I really didn't want to, and God blessed me with another $400 check. And then I get back again, and I go back this weekend, and I just passed, and God blessed me with another $400 check. So at all this weekend, I've got almost $1,000 to bless me with. And if you don't know, I've been out of work for a while. And I thank God, but he has supplied every need. The Bible says, come on, give him amen. 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 So, you know, when it says that he'll supply all your needs, I know that last 3 months I've said, God, how? And by the end of the month, God works it out. God does it. But I know one awesome thing about it is this, is that I've come, the old song says, I've come too far to look back now. I've come way too far now to know that God ain't real. I know he's real. And I know he's an awesome God. So I bless him for that tonight. Amen.
Yeah. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Talk about God, do it again. Yeah. He did it, and he did it again, and he'll do it again. Hallelujah. Just do it and do it again. That was good. Praise the Lord. Well, who else wants to share how God's been good to him? Hallelujah. Neil.
Hey, everybody. Good to see you guys. So I was just thinking about what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for food, shelter, clothing, transportation. That's good right there. Yeah. I'm thankful to have friends in far-flung places who offer me places to stay when I come back. And they say, hey, come up and see me. Last week, God said, I was just running down the beach, and I was just talking to God, and it had been a while since I'd heard him. You know how that can happen? All of a sudden, he just started telling me all kinds of things about, you know, answers to my problems, like things I've been believing him for years. He just gave me one idea, and I thought, that solves that. And it's like, done. I mean, how long did I struggle and worry about this? And he's just like, that and that. Oh, okay. All right. And It's more than anything. I mean, these things, we get thoughts that, and these problems, they just plague our minds. And we worry and we fret and we try to solve them and we can't do it. But he can do it. He has done it. And all we have to do is just listen until he tells us. And not worry and not fret about it. You know, sometimes I can feel in Japan like I'm on a small stage doing small things, teaching small people. And okay, that was not a Japanese comment. That was the fact that they're kids, right? Okay. Thank you, J-Rob knows what I'm talking about. All right. But, you know, even if you're having a bad day, I could be having a bad day, or I can feel like I wish things were different. I wish things were better. I wish I were further along. I wish what I could see in my mind and my heart was happening now. But he reminds me, this person in front of you needs me. And that's what I want for you right now. I want you to give them what you got. I want you to encourage them. Okay. Okay. It's, you know, the small task in front of you, in front of me, is the best place we can be. If it's in God's will, and he says, just if he's leading you, thank God for that.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, sometimes we take it for granted, but just think about it. Like, he's actually leading us. He's speaking to us and telling us what to do and giving us, and he's putting people in front of us and giving us opportunities to minister for him. And, you know, it also, it can be tough in Japan to find friends who are anything like you and really find friends at all. Most people in Japan, they wear this mask. And this mask is I'm not going to venture anything because I don't want to get rejected. And so I'm going to keep this happy, kind of fake persona going all the time. And almost everybody does this over there. Now, we Westerners or people from other countries, we don't do that. But to help the Japanese people and to sort of uncover them and to introduce them to Christ, like, we have to get past that mask. And it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of investment and friendship. And he gives me the patience to do that. He gives me favor with these people. And gives me opportunities and open doors, and it feels slow, and it feels frustrating, and it feels like I don't have that much patience. But he does, and he gives it to me. And so, you know, I heard this, that what my friend said, that if you're going to stay there less than 10 years, they're not going to invest in a friendship with you because that's just too short. And that's one person's opinion, but I've seen that you have to commit to the individual person and spend a lot of time with them for them to start investing in you. And that's just, I mean, it's just kind of how they are. So, but he's teaching me how to reach them. And it's a slow process because I have to un-Americanize my brain, which is hard because we're about as different from them as you can be. And they're very collective. They don't do anything unless all their friends say it's a good idea. We're like, I'm doing this. Y'all watch this. I'm going to jump off the roof into the hot tub, you know? Okay. They don't think like that. There's this huge bunch of people that God loves who don't know him. And there are a small bunch of people who do know him, who desperately want to get that love to them and that knowledge to them. And it just takes time and patience. It takes denying yourself. And it's not easy, but, you know, Jesus has been there before. And he has set the example. And that is something I'm thankful for. His words comfort me a lot. When I'm over there just feeling frustrated, sometimes I read what he said and it's like, oh, he gets it. And so I've got friends over there who are experiencing the same thing I am, and we can fellowship, and it's good. And because we all love God, and we have praise and worship up in our apartment, and we have pizza and hang out, and it's fun, it's good. And so those few people are precious. And so when I come back to America now and I see these people, I see all these people here. I see people in Atlanta. I've seen in Florida. Folks I don't get to see that often. I am so thankful for each person because, you know, the longer you're away from home, the more you appreciate the people you've met and the people who love you, the people that you love. And when you see them, they're that much more precious. So that's for all of you. You're precious, and I'm glad to see you.
Amen.
So God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Wow. Yeah, Neil has been in Japan. How long? I didn't want to say it because it doesn't seem even possible. For 3 years, he's been in Japan. How about that? Wowza. Praise God. Well, who wants to share next? We're sharing. Oh, Carol, come along. Thank you all for sharing.
I'm sitting here thinking, well, that's not a testimony, but it is a testimony. So I went to camp for my first time, and I survived. I feel like that's a testimony. But anyway, it's hard to be away from your business when you have a business. You're there day in, day out. You're running things and overseeing everything. But I just felt like it was something that I needed to do for me, really, to go and give, because I haven't given in that way in a long time. It was very, very rewarding just to be around those kids. And they left changed. I believe that. And that was just exciting to see. They got hungrier as the weekend went on. It was only 48 hours. But just in that short amount of time, you could just see the change. And I'm just glad I got to be there to experience. And I was glad to give in that way. And that's not really what I came to say. I'm just sitting here thinking about the protection of God. He has protected me, my family, so many times. And he's so good. And we can take these little chances for granted. But we've got to know that God is involved in our protection. And the blood of Jesus protects us. And sorry, I'm emotional, but I'll blame it on being tired from camp. But Friday when we were at camp, we got a phone call from our store. And there were four fire trucks there. The bin, the cardboard bin had caught on fire. The guys were out smoking. And it was an accident, of course. Careless accident. And so it caught on fire. And so knowing God, we did not panic, and we just got the facts, and that is the best way to respond when something like that happens. Don't let fear get on you or take you to a place in your mind that's like the worst case scenario. And we just didn't do that. You know, Eddie got the phone call, and he came and told me about it, and I immediately remembered that Pastor Matt prayed for me and Eddie specifically on Wednesday night that there wouldn't be any distractions that would keep us from being there or for doing what we needed to do. And I know that, not to brag on Eddie and I, but we were needed there. They needed our presence there. We were the only adults. Well, there might have been a few others. But I know it gave Grayson a sense of comfort knowing that, you know, Eddie is there and the abilities that we bring to the table for, you know, those kind of settings. Plunging toilets, feeding people, Band-Aids. But anyway, I just got to thinking about the protection. And, you know, we had to have a meeting with our team when we got back. And I started kind of going through all of the things that could have happened. And at one point, we thought the awning had burnt down and it was totaled and that the camera was gone. And we have these plastic things that hang down that are $1,000, and we thought they were gone. The people across the back parking lot were doing construction, and they came over with their fire extinguishers to help us. And the door got rolled down immediately, and so no smoke got in the building, so there was no smoke damage. Business was being conducted in the store, and no one knew it was happening. Our employees didn't know it was happening. Our customers didn't know it was happening. We normally stack pallets right there. They weren't there. That could have possibly made the fire jump to the inside. That cardboard container sits on top of a gas line. And, you know, yep, that fire was contained inside that cardboard container. And so, you know, we start counting the cost, and really it's a couple of minor things, a couple of fire extinguishers. I call the cardboard guy, you know, hey, we'll have it painted. I know, you know, we'll get new signs for it and do all these things. And every single person that we had to talk to, they were like, don't worry about it. You know, we told the guys we'd replace their fire extinguishers across the way. Don't worry about it. And so far, I think it's going to cost us maybe $35. And I'm just so grateful. God is so good. It really could have been so much worse. So much worse. That is a testimony. And that is the way that we should live, being protected. In so many things, just we escape, you know, the wrath of the enemy who wants to take us out and take us down and distract us and keep us from doing what we want, what we need to do. And we don't have to take the bait. We don't have to jump in the fear. We don't have to go there. And I mean, I don't know if things would have turned out differently had our attitude been different. But I just wanted to give God praise for that, because He is so good, and He has protected us so many times. So thank God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. The Lord is good. I have a little testimony I just thought of when you said that. It hadn't occurred to me to share this. Mine is a very old testimony. It's 53 years old. Last Monday was my, not this one, but the one before, 9 days ago, was my 53rd birthday. And that morning, my mom was over in my house, you know, bragging on how good she did that day. And anyway, and so she was telling me, and she goes, yeah, I remember. And she just mentioned, and I remember this somewhere in my thinking, and I hadn't thought of it in years. She said, yeah, I remember when I delivered you, I was black and blue from here to here. Not because I had beat her up, but just hours before she delivered me, she was in a terrible car accident. This is in the days before the bags, airbags or anything, and a car pulled in front of her, and she slammed into the car, and it, in her belly, otherwise known as me, went right into the steering wheel, and it broke the steering wheel and all of that, and then it put her into labor, and she was labored and delivered me, and they were very concerned about what did this do to little me. So far, nothing's turned up. Seems like all is well. But they were very grateful and very glad that the Lord protected me. And me too, man. Hallelujah. Well, who else has a testimony to share? Yeah, Chris. I see that hand in the back.
Hey, y'all. So, Pastor Nate's been busting me to do this for a little while. Most of y'all know me. If you don't, my name is Chris Efflant. I'm a little talkative. You know, Eddie tells me I talk too much sometimes. So, but at church, I've been pretty quiet. I've been here about 2 years, a little more than 2 years now, actually, because we know the day. Yeah, if time flies when you're having fun, right? So, where to start? I guess we'll go back to the beginning. July 24th, 1982. Like you said, 36 years ago, I was born. No. Going back, I was raised a single mom, oldest of four. Very, very independent. It was the type of thing where, you know, all the kids would have Nike sneakers, whatever, go home, and mom would say, well, yeah, if you want that, that's great. You know, go get a job and make your money and buy your sneakers or whatever. And even then, I would do that and save up my money, and then it'd be like, oh, sorry, son, you know, I need help with the water bill this month or whatever. And I was 13, 14 years old, you know, help pay the bills. So it taught me very, very valuable lessons, but it also taught me to be very independent and kind of do this. Like, I can handle it, and I can do this, and I've got this. As time wore on, I got older and joined the military, and ended up deploying 7 times. Towards the end, I got hurt really bad, busted up my back. And so that led to going to the VA and having some surgeries and different things, and ultimately led to, pill dependency, pain pill dependency, right? So that's the first time I ever really said it out loud, so there's that. In any setting outside of a 12-step meeting. So, I know it is. It is. That's right. So that's tough, man. That's tough when they tell you to go to the VA and I'm saying, hey, look, what are my surgery options? Well, you know, you really don't have any more surgeries in you. I'm like, 28. You know what I mean? What do you mean I don't have surgeries in me? Nah, we just give you these. And then, you know, after 6 months or a year, it's like, hey, these aren't working anymore. What are my other options? Can I do some physical therapy or something? Nope. We'll just make them stronger. So you double down on the strength. And before you know it, they can't double down on strength anymore. So now what do? Well, I'm running out 2 weeks in and I'm getting sick and different things like that. And I'm buying them on the street and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And at this point, I'm already, you know, married and I have a kid and making $100,000 a year working for the government as a civilian and trying to be functioning and keeping everything going because I can handle it, right? Because I can do it because I'm independent. I don't need anybody's help. My mom's a minister. And, you know, my mom, she kind of knew something was going on, but she's in Rhode Island, right? I'm in Georgia, so I call, hey, yeah, everything's great. Kids are great. Everything's fine. She knew better. And so ultimately, you know, spending some money doing some silly things. And I'll tell you, I make people laugh. That I'm a pretty smart guy, but it's not real smart when you take a government laptop or iPad to a pawn shop for money to buy drugs because they catch you pretty quick, Nate. They catch you pretty quick. So, you know, at that time, I just thought, what am I going to do? That's, you know, that's my whole career. I had worked there 10 years, and that's not including the additional 6 years for the military service. So I had 16 years vested into a career that I just thought, you know, my whole world's falling apart. Now, you know, my wife's kicking me out of the house, and you know, everybody knows my secret. Everything's out there. And I'm in pain on top of that because I still haven't fixed that part of it, right? You know? So it was a pretty messed up situation. My mom came down and they did like a little intervention on me and stuff. And so I said, yeah, I'll go. I don't want to fight anymore. I need help. I can't do it myself. And so I did that. And that was 2 years ago as of July 15th. You know, 2016. So we just hit 2 years clean and sober, and that is an amazing thing in and of itself, and I could really stop there. So yeah, absolutely. I'll take that. So to God be the glory on that one. But man, and then a year in, you know, I had a really funky sickness. I'm sure you remember, and I know you remember. We were praying, and I ended up in the hospital for 10 days, and thank God we were praying and thinking that day, right? Because we had the water. What do we call that? I don't remember what that day was called, but what a splash. Some of the kids, yeah, it was a kid's splash party, right? So we had the big water slide set up out back and stuff. And I just thought I had some kind of little ingrown hair or whatever. And I was like, oh, you know, we prayed and I think I feel all right. And you busted my chops. You're not going to go down? I said, man, I don't know. An open wound, I don't think it's a good idea for the water. Thank God, right? Because it was MRSA virus. And so it turned out to be really bad. And I was in the hospital for 10 days. It's bad when you go to a VA hospital and within 5 minutes of being there, they check your temperature and see what's going on. They go, hey, let's take you right here. Yep, we're going to check you in. Yep, you're going straight to surgery. And I'm like, no, I'm supposed to be waiting for 4 hours before anybody sees me. So it was pretty quick. Yeah, it was pretty quick. And during all this time, some stuff, I started getting very independent. You know, I was a little cocky. I had been a year into my sobriety. So I said, I know what I'm doing. I've got this, making financial moves without talking to my wife and doing some things. And that's on me, you know, not consulting her, not consulting the Lord and doing some things that were on me. So right, everything literally came to a head at once where I'm having this emergency surgery. She kicked me out again. And, you know, I'm like, what am I going to do? And I'm in the hospital for 10 days, and they tell me I'm going to be there for 7 days, and then it's 10 days, and it's going to be 3 weeks. But then they come back and say, no, you got to go today. And I'm sitting in the hospital going, I have nowhere to go. So I'm getting out of the hospital, by the way, not healed up. Like, I have a drain coming out of my body and needs to be tended to. I can't reach it. Like, talk about a lesson in not being independent, because I can't reach it by myself at all, but I have nobody to change it. So, you know, what am I going to do? And I reached out and I talked to Pastor Chris and Pastor Susie and St. Grayson. So that was hilarious, because then Grayson just comes bouncing into my hospital room and he's all happy and smiling. And I'm just like, my life's over, because I'm too young in my faith to claim what I should be claiming, what I should be covered. Things like you just said, like you just shared, things that should be covering me, and those should be the battles that we come through. So he just like kept laughing. And at first, I got to tell you, like my flesh was like, I want to punch this dude in the mouth, man. Like, my life is ruined right now, and he's just laughing at me. He's like, I'm telling you, Chris, this is hilarious. You're going to look back, and you're going to laugh. And I'm like, Grayson, like, I just had this surgery. I wish he was here right now. I just had this surgery, and I have no place to go. They're kicking me out. And like, I'm talking about, it was in hours. It wasn't the next day. It wasn't tomorrow. It was in hours. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I'm promising you, I'm just telling you, the Lord's telling me it's going to be fine. And he's just laughing. And I will say, after about 10 minutes of that, I'm like, why fight it? You know, so I start laughing too. I'm just, whatever, man. This is either I'm going to go insane and they're going to let me stay here, or whatever, you know. And So we prayed on it. We prayed on it, and Pastor Kristen gave me a couple of numbers, and we called them. And as funny as that is, within 48 hours, right, from Tuesday to Thursday, within 48 hours, I not only had housing and a place to stay, but the program was covered and paid for 9 months. Completely until I, you know, and I could take it over eventually. So it wasn't a thing where, the pride was like, oh, I can't have somebody just paying for me or whatever. And it's like, no, shut up and listen. This is what we do. We help. You're a veteran. You're a disabled veteran. So we're going to help you. Oh, and by the way, you have a child. So we're going to help you, and then you take over the payments. We're not going to pay it for you forever. You know, you have to have some responsibility. We get it, but we're going to get you off the ground. So Grayson was showing me and teaching me how to confess in the hospital room was within 48 hours. I had a place to live in Evans, a very nice place with my daughter, and just it was amazing. And then come to find out months and months later, there's people, members of this church that I'm not going to mention because I don't know if they want me to, but that contribute to that program. So by all rights, they helped pay for me to live from Good News Church. And you know, we didn't even know it at that time. You come to find that out later, and little things like my brother was sharing, where you know, you're just getting checks and stuff. I had we'll leave him anonymous. I know who it was from Good News Church. Gave me $1,000 check, where again I was like, well, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I wasn't working at the time, but you know, I have my daughter full time, and you know, her mother's going through some issues and stuff. So it's just been, I know I don't mean to ramble, it's just been one thing after another. And that's why, you know, we keep talking about, Chris, you gotta give your testimony. I'm like, but it hasn't stopped yet. Like, it keeps getting better. And so and it just keeps getting better and better and better. And I've learned to not be so independent. And I'm still learning. You know, I had a believer tell me just the other day, hey, you got to show a little more grace. Don't be so mad at people all the time. That's something I'm working on. Because, you know, that's part of that thing, right? I'm independent. I can handle this. And hey, how dare you do that to me? You know, well, yeah, calm down. What did you do to other people for 35 years, right? So, but it keeps getting better, and it keeps getting better every day. And just from the smallest little blessings, you know, took my kids to, you know, all you can eat or at kids night at Denny's last night. Didn't know it was kids night. I had a coupon. So I was like, hey, the three of us can share a meal. We'll eat for $10, you know? And the lady was like, no, it's kids eat free. So we have $45 worth of food for $10. And then the lady gave me half of that for being a veteran. So it's like $5 for all three of us to eat, and they're happy as can be. And I was like, man, we'll see you every Tuesday. You know what I mean? So from the smallest things to the biggest things, I just give God the glory. And it's been an incredible 2 years. So thank y'all.
That was awesome. Praise God. I appreciate your boldness and your honesty, because that's the real deal. That's where life is for people, and it's really great, you know, when it's, you know, that mask that Neil talked about, and he said, we don't do that here, and I wanted to tap him on the shoulder and say, you've been gone too long, buddy. We're really good at that, especially church people. They do that the best, you know, but to be real. Because people have real problems. You're not the only one in the world, man, that has a painkiller addiction. People in this room struggled with that. People in this room have loved ones right in the thick of it, and all kind of things. It's a big deal, you know. 1 in 6 people in the state of Tennessee are addicted to painkillers. You know, whenever I throw that out at home, the kids always look around and say, well, there's 6 of us, but we're not in Tennessee. So, you know, but it don't matter. It might be several. It doesn't matter. The devil's trying to trap you in whatever he can. It's all about that. And it's not, it's Jesus came to free us all, and every one of us has been enslaved to sin. That's the reality. Thank God for freedom. And for the mess that got us into the mess, too, you know, not just the mess, but the mess. He frees us not just from the mess, but the mess that got us into the mess. Hallelujah. Bringing us out. Well, I don't, nobody's going to want to give a testimony for that, but what brave soul. No, what is it that you have that the Lord's done for you? Has he shown you his goodness? Why don't you come tell about your thumb? It's Kimberly. Tell whatever you want, but you should tell your thumb.
I want to tell about my thumb. I was just sitting there thinking, that is tiny, but it's huge to me. As a conscious person, I have never before experienced supernatural healing, like right on the spot. And this past weekend, actually, we had some meetings at a different place. And on one night, this lady came up to me and she was speaking over me. And she said, the Lord even knows about the small things. And she went into a few details. And he knows about the small things that concern you. And I just went ahead and went home, but I didn't mention it to her, and I didn't mention it to the guy the next night. But he got up, and he was praying for people to be healed. And he pulled out his phone. He said, I have one more word of knowledge. And he read this really complicated medical term. They don't teach us those in nursing school. We just do bandages. And so he read this really complicated term, and they actually had me down front praying for another person. So I was standing right that close, and he starts to read it, and he said, it means something about your thumb hurting and clicking. And I just turned from that lady. I was like, that's me. And I started moving it, and the guy sitting right there could hear my thumb clicking. And I said, it keeps me awake. It's had me up all afternoon. I just, every 5 minutes, I'll just wake up and pop my thumb because it hurts, and it keeps me up at night. And he said, well, God wants to heal that. So he just reached in and prayed for my thumb, and it quit hurting and it quit popping. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's totally better. And that has never happened before in my life. And so then that, like over the next few days, it started to kind of come back, and I had actually been reading about faith. And so I just started, I'm like, God gave him that word of knowledge and he healed it. So this is clearly the Lord's will for my thumb to be healed. So this is something different, like deception or like something coming back against it. So I just put my own hand on my thumb and prayed over it for several days. And now this is more than a week and a half later, and there's still no pain and no clicking. So I just like, what a healing savior.
Praise the Lord. I love that. What might seem small to some is a big deal. If something's waking you up, keeping you up, that's a big deal at my house. It's keeping me awake. Praise the Lord. He is the healing Savior. Amen. Anyone else have something they want to share tonight? Kristen?
I've got a kind of old one, but it just keeps coming up in me because we've been talking about babies so much. And I just remember after having Karis, Nate and I struggled to get pregnant again with another baby. We wanted another baby right away. Actually, maybe a year later, we were kind of deciding to get it. Was a little bit later because I was like, oh, Lord, what did I get myself into? But then once we finally decided to we want another baby, we kept trying, and just it just wasn't happening. And I, you know, prayed over myself and was, you know, I knew the word, and I just knew that it was God's plan. If it was a desire in my heart for me to have a baby, and it just, for whatever reason, I was just struggling. And every month when it didn't happen, you know, I really got discouraged at times. And I forget, we were having a Holy Ghost meeting one night, and we were all praying, and I was up on stage worshiping, and I was on my knees, and I remember just having a flash in my brain of me holding two babies, and one was a boy, one was a girl. And I couldn't see them. I didn't really understand at the time what that meant, but I just knew that God was telling me that my arms would be full. And I just kind of held on to that promise because I was like, you know what, God, you are faithful and you are good for the word that you give us. And so, you know, that you feel like Mary sometimes, and you just hold those things in your heart and ponder them. And so I did that, and it wasn't very long from that time that we got prayed for that specifically. And I was having an issue with actually ovulating so that I could get pregnant. And for whatever reason, it started working again. We had a baby girl, Adelie. And we didn't know it, but her cord was completely in a knot. When she was born, they told us that she had a true knot in her cord. And very easily something bad could have happened, but God was protecting her. And then I was just thinking about how not too long after Adelie was born, and we got pregnant right away with Nolan. And those two babies that God put in my heart, that were in my arms, they came to fruition. And apart from all that, we could stand up here probably all day long and tell you financial testimonies that God has given us through houses, cars, provided medical needs, all kinds of stuff. But above all of that, I believe that, it, just like Pastor Susie was saying, it's God's desire to fulfill the desires in your heart. And whatever that is, I know I'm talking about babies, but whatever that is, I mean, I think about my own kids, like, if they have something really on their heart that they really want, I may not be able to get it for them right away, but it's my desire for them to have that thing. And I think God thinks about us more than we even know. I think he thinks and plans and executes things behind the scenes that we have no idea, because he's doing it just to bless us, just to love on us, just to make the desires of our heart come to pass. And so I think one of the themes that we're dealing with now is, don't let those dreams die, whatever that is. If there's a something in there that's about something that he's called you to do, and sometimes you feel, well, maybe I missed it, or maybe I'm too old for that, or maybe, you know, I don't have the financial way to do that, but don't let that die. Whatever he's put in your heart, he wants and desires and yearns and thinks about and wants to do, and he is working behind the scenes, and you will never know until that suddenly, like Frank and Rhonda are experiencing, that suddenly that comes and you're like, what? And he's been planning it all along. He's sneaky. He likes those surprise parties. So I'm just saying, just be expectant. Don't let go of those dreams, because God has been faithful to us, and I know he's no respecter of persons, and he's going to be continuously faithful to you.
Man, praise God. That's a word for somebody here tonight, or maybe some somebodies, and even maybe people online, to let yourself dream again, because you get, I know that definitely was Terry's story, and even Rhonda has shared that you just get to the point, you're hoping for it, but you kind of just put it on the back burner till you just, like, you know, okay, I'm fine if that doesn't happen. And I'm not saying drive yourself nuts or be anxious. Don't be anxious for anything, but keep hope alive. Just, God, you've heard my prayer. I think I said to Frank, you know, he's thinking I'm an old man. Look, he's nowhere near where Abraham was. Abraham was an old man. But God is faithful who promised. He doesn't count time the way we do. He has a different way of counting time. And then once it comes, you're like, what was I so worried about? You know, this last year you've had Liam, and like all those years you longed for a baby, and then now here he is, and he's eating dirt on the beach, you know, and like, what was all that I was worried about? You should have enjoyed going to the beach instead of crying because you didn't have a baby. Now you got one. Can't enjoy it because you got to chase the child that's eating the dirt. Praise the Lord. Okay. We got time for one more, if anybody has one more that you're sitting there and you want to share. Anybody? Yeah. Oh, Kelly? Now, Kelly, we don't have time for your whole story. Come on, buddy. We're going to have to give you a special 20-minute session one night. Okay.
Anyway, let me get my talk to you. I had been diagnosed in December of last year. I think it was December, wasn't it? That I had throat cancer at the bottom of my tongue. So the radiation doctor, I talked to him. He said, you need to go to see a surgeon. So I went to see the surgeon at Augusta State University. He said, well, the best thing we can do is take your tongue out, put a piece of meat in there to replace it, and take your voice box out, and you'd have to be fed through a tube and talked through one of these mechanical things the rest of your life. And I'm just sitting there like, what? And He said, well, I have a professor at Georgia Southern. He had it done. Him and his wife, they just have a quality life. I said, well, that ain't quality to me. I said, I'm not doing that. I told Dennis, I ain't doing that. I said, I'd die and go to heaven before I do that. But I wasn't going there either at that time. So I went back to the radio. Well, I can't tell the whole story because we went to Florida, went to a minister called Billy Burke, and that's a story in itself. But it's on video. We can show that one day. But anyway, I went to the radiation doctor. I said, is this the only option I got? He said, no, we can do radiation treatment, which was a blessing in itself because up until 3 years ago, they couldn't do radiation on a person again. And I'd already had radiation in 2001. So they were going to do radiation. I went to the oncologist, and they said, well, we're going to do 3 rounds of chemo. And it's a cisplatin, which is a real old, but it's a real strong chemo. And he said, now, we're going to give you some nausea medicine because you're going to get nauseated. We're going to give you, so they filled 2 prescriptions for nausea before we left his office. He said, now, you need to take this. You're going to feel sick for a couple of days or 3 days after you do this, and you're also going to lose your hair. I said, well, I'm used to that, so I've done that before, so I can handle that part. So anyway, I wasn't worried about the hair part, but I like to hold on to what I got as long as I can anyway. So, and you always wonder why did one turn loose today that wasn't turning loose yesterday. So anyway, to tell you the truth, you know, the first day, this was funny. She brought home the chemo, nausea medicine. I never touched it. Yet to touch it. I never drank any, never took any, nothing. I had 3 rounds of chemo, never got sick, never threw up. One day we got up from chemo and they said, you doing all right? I said, yeah, me and my wife's going to Red Robin to get something to eat. And so I've had a struggle trying to keep my weight up, and I'm too fed. Well, I was up until about a week ago. I started drinking the stuff now. But it got my weight up. I went as low as 144 pounds. And I'd get up to go to the bathroom at night, and I'd fall on the floor. I'd wake her up, wake my son up. And they're, you all right, you all right? And, well, you know, it's funny because I never hit anything. I'd always fall in the middle of the floor and miss the bed. I missed the door frame. I missed a lot of things. I missed the chair. But I always found the floor. I could find that with no problem. So... As I took this nourishment, my weight got up, and up to 178 pounds now. And what's that? Yeah, I was getting to that. But anyway, I went through the radiation with no problem. I worked the whole time I was going through treatment. They were amazed that I was going back to work. And I'd come in at 2 o'clock, get my treatment, take about 15 minutes to go back to work. Then chemo would take all day pretty much, so it takes a while to put that in. But never got sick, never lost any hair, never got nausea in the 3 rounds. The doctor like, I can't believe that. I can't believe it. And so as I put the weight back on, we went over to the oncologist one day, and I told Pastor Susan and Pastor Matt, walked in the reception and said, you look so good. Give me a hug. So she was surprised, and then the doctor walked in, and his eyes went, wow, you look good. You put on about 20 pounds, 30 pounds the last time I saw you. I said, yeah, I've been taking that 2-cal then. But I'm drinking a lot more water than I used to, and I found out that sweet tea is a cause of my problem. I have a reason I'm taking, because sugar is a cause of cancer, because when they give you this PET scan to tell you whether they have cancer or not, the stuff they use is sugar-based, because cancer is attracted to the sugar, and that's how they can find it on the PET scan. Well, I calculated up. I'd been drinking sweet tea since my mama breastfed me. And so I've been drinking a lot of sweet tea. And I figured up one day at work how much sweet tea I drank in a year. And I was calculating up, and I was consuming 96 pounds of sugar just on sweet tea. So I'm off sweet tea. And... no sugar, so I'm not doing that. So I said, well, anyway, but we had the PET scan about, 2 weeks ago? Had the PET scan, had the biopsy done in the throat, and the doctor said, well, we didn't find any cancer. The biopsy came back clear, and I shared that one day. But the PET scan came back, and they said, there's no more cancer. You're clean. You're free. 100% no cancer. So that's a testimony. And oh, yeah, and I'm back umpiring softball. I went to Atlanta about 2 weeks ago and did a weekend tournament up there. First time I'd umpired since last year. I did 15 games in 3 days, did more than anybody else, and they were about 10, 20 years younger than I was. And it was so hot on this one field that it melted the sole off the bottom of my shoes. I was on an artificial turf, and it got about 110 degrees on that turf, and the sole came off the bottom of my shoes, and I was soulless on the last game. I looked down, and there was something on the plate. I said, where'd that come from? She said, off your shoe. I said, really? And I looked up, and there was the other one flapping. So I threw them back there and finished the game. But I didn't get tired. I mean, it was hot. It was hot. And the last day, we were there from 7 a.m. to 9:20 at night. Stayed there, stayed on my feet all day, never got tired. And I just feel great. Yeah. This is some scripture that's about worn out, but this is the second batch I've had. I printed them off, and I got to do another one because this is worn out. But Tanya wrote this out. It says, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, my sickness, cancer, and tumor is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, he redeemed me from the curse of sickness. Therefore, I no longer have a cancer or a tumor. But Janice told me about these verses, and she sent them to me. And she said, just pick out 15. And I said, well, there's 101, so I can pick out 15. But your days shall be 120 years. I will take sickness away from the midst of you, and the number of your days I will fulfill. I've redeemed you from every sickness and every plague. No plague shall come near your dwelling. You shall not die, but live and declare my words. My joy is your strength, and a merry heart that's good like a medicine. Which I like to laugh anyway. Your light shall break forth as the morning. Your health shall spring forth speedily. I will restore health unto you and will heal your wounds, saith the Lord. I will bind up that which was broken, will strengthen that which was sick. Seek me and you shall live. I heal them all. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I heal all those who have a need of healing. I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I want to be well with you and want you to live long in the earth. I have delivered you from the authority of darkness, and by my stripes you are healed. So I quote these a minimum of once, but usually 3 times a day. Whenever I get a chance, I quote these verses. Even now, I still do that. So these have been a real source of strength for me over the months that I've been dealing with this. This started back in, actually started in October when I found out I couldn't eat a corn dog anymore. So it's been a long process, but there's other miracles that went on and along with this that I can't share them all tonight because it would take another hour probably to tell it all. But God is good and heal me.
Praise God. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We should tell it more often, eh? Thank all of y'all so much for sharing with us. What a blessing. Father, we thank you tonight. Hallelujah. We're just reminded tonight of your goodness. The Lord, he has been good to us. And he's not done. You are a good, good God. You can't help but do good. You've done wonderful things for your people. Yes. Hallelujah. And Father, we're very, very grateful. I pray tonight, Father, that we would take this word of your goodness and share it with people, that we'd be bold to tell what you've done for us. There's people that aren't here that desperately need to hear these things. They need to know that God is real, that God really is real, and that he really does care about people. And that he cares about people, not just good people, but people like us, people who really need a Savior. We're very thankful tonight for the goodness that you've shown us. And Father, the strength and the boldness that we need to share this with others, we thank you for that. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Love you guys.